Welcome to Scribe Session. Here, Inquirer Bengals beat writers Joe Reedy and Paul Daner Jr. escort you inside the walls of Paul Brown Stadium to hear the news, analysis, and observations unfolding within the team from those documenting it daily, all with the sidecar of sarcasm you've come to expect. Let's go.
Let's get ready to rumble! Feel the fires into the rear!
He'll gun it deep downfield for A.J. Green. A.J.'s got it! Touchdown! Bengals! Dalton in the shotgun. Two receivers left, two to the right. Andy straight back to throw. Fires for Gresham in the end zone! Touchdown! Bengals!
Up the middle of the field, look out. Reedy's off to the races.
All right, welcome to the latest edition of Scribe Session. Paul Daner Jr. here with fellow Bengals beat writer Joe Reedy. Joe, how are you?
Good, Paul. How are you doing?
It's hard not to be doing all right after the latest game that we witnessed on our way back from Detroit after Bengals win 27-24 over the Lions in one of the more entertaining games that you'll see on the NFL slate. A.J. Green, Calvin Johnson, drama, fun atmosphere, lively. It was something, and a pretty good weekend all around.
Yeah, not too bad. Good game at Ford Field, one of the better dome stadiums to go to.
One of my new favorite venues. I'd never been there before, and the press setup is fantastic. I have so missed the open air press box concept, because with many of these outdoor stadiums, the press boxes are enclosed. You can't hear a lot of the fans or get a real feel for the insanity of the game, but we were as in the mix as you can be at Ford Field, and that place was rocking.
But I wasn't kidding when I said it's a high boy, right?
It is a high boy. You need the binos.
Yes.
You're pretty lost without them. We were up there, but it's a pretty interesting setup, but I know you were in the media parking lot very far away. I was lucky enough to have acquired a very delightful, close parking spot, thanks to a couple of my good friends that live in Detroit and work for GM. But beyond
I got parents who are GM retirees. I should have the pass next door.
I'm sorry. It didn't work. You had to take the shuttle. But that being the only probably minor complaint for a media member at Ford Field, because everything is very easy to find. It's very compact. The locker rooms and there's no other places. The game ends and it's chaos. No one knows where to go. Last week in Buffalo, we were fighting against the grain through 20,000 prideful Buffalonians.
I felt like we were crowd surfing at that game.
An impossible trail to get to the visitors' locker room.
Which, speaking of Pearl Jam, I felt like I was about to be picked up in a crowd swimming in like even flow.
It would have been like the even flow video. I thought at one point that was the only way we could get to the visitors' locker room in Buffalo is if we climbed to the top like he does in the video and just threw ourselves over the crowd to try and get down there. But no, in Detroit, it was very easy. Everything was easy in and out. They had a lovely security guard who hung out with us to the end, made sure we got to the shuttle, called me a cab so I could get a cab back to my friend's place. Everything perfectly taken care of. Love Ford Field. Great venue for what ended up being a great game. I commend the people of Detroit. It was fantastic.
Yeah, Bill Keenest, Matt Barnhart, and his staff. I think we lucked out, though, because we didn't start going down till late, where there was the handy-dandy elevator that let us right down. I know some of our colleagues did not have the same advantage. They went early and kind of had like our Buffalo experience where they were going against a grain on a lot of things.
You never want to end up in the crowd. It never – anytime you have to go out into the crowd at the end of a game, you are taking your life in your own hands, and there's a chance you will be swept away into a bar somewhere because it's just – it's typically pandemonium out there. After
no, Cleveland, I did a good job navigating traffic.
You did. It's never easy, though. Well, I want – you know what? You had an interesting experience in Detroit, going across the tunnel to into Canada. What did you see on your way into Canada?
Well, went to Caesars Windsor, had a decent dinner, not great. Did the buffet, should have done the steakhouse. But on the way back. Through the tunnel, I'm about three cars back through one of the weight things, and it's like, man, this van in front of us is taking a while. Next thing I know, 6-7 border security cops all of a sudden come out of nowhere. The spotlights start shining. Two people come out of the van with their hands in their heads. I almost thought Paul was going to be like a scene out of 24 where all of a sudden... All of a sudden, shooting in an exploding van, and
Jack Bauer rappels out of the out of the customs booth.
And then there was this car that decided it wanted to try another lane onto itself. One of those black Cadillacs. Where all of a sudden is this thing's going on? I'm thinking, okay, all of a sudden is this a setup where this black Cadillac SUV is pulling up for the great getaway, or?
The entire tunnel is going to just erupt in gunfire, and everyone's going down. But the
thing is, my mother, which is a second straight week of mentioning Mother Reedy,
by the way.
I know she'll be pleased. Mother Reedy does not like bridges.
No.
I'm fine with bridges. I hate tunnels, and it was a good 30-40 minute wait into Canada on the tunnel where my worst fear is that there will be a tunnel collapsing on me and I'll eventually die, which that Detroit Windsor tunnel's 83 years old, which it's getting up there in years.
And that's not what you want from a tunnel.
No.
These people were, I love how these people were then very quickly escorted away from the premise. How quickly border control can end your fun time, and you are immediately out of there going into some sort of Canada-U.S. purgatory.
Well, and the thing is, Paul, you do not mess with border security. No. You don't, because time for story time with Mr. Joe again.
Ooh, story time. Yes, please.
When I was in my younger days and living in Glens Falls, at the border in Plattsburgh, I decided to go through, and on the way back to Montreal, I took a wrong turn and ran the border by mistake back into the U.S., where all of a sudden I saw three border security cars coming at warp speed chasing me down. So
how'd that turn out?
After defusing the situation, it turned out well. But I am one who does not mess with the border security, because Saturday when it was, sir, please pop the trunk, you go in about 0.2 seconds, yes, sir, right away, sir.
Yeah, the border patrol pulls you over. Your car better be darn clean. No bodies in the back, because that's what they're assuming the worst.
This was a Saturday. I decided not to bring any Cuban cigars over the border. That's all I can say.
Would have been the end. So let's move on. Let's check this. We're about 8-9 minutes in. We're now officially beginning Bengals talk. For those of you that find maybe our story's not that entertaining, we hear you, but
we want your Bengals talk within 15 minutes.
We'll make sure we get it to you. Here we go. We're moving on to the Bengals talk, and moving on to the Bengals talk of this win. We've also been taking some hits, possibly, for some of our terrible music choices that we have jokingly been putting
into these. I've got a doozy in tap today.
What do you have on tap for us? I thought we were gonna do something good. I thought we were gonna restore the faith of our fans.
But let's just talk about the game, and you'll see what I got planned.
All right. Well, whatever you have planned, I don't know how I feel about it. But I thought we were going to immediately go into talking about Detroit and this win by restoring the confidence of our fans in us with a little bit of the Doors, because I believe they properly sum up what this win was. You know, Jim Morrison, rest in peace. This is really what this win was about.
Tried to run, tried to hide, break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side, yeah. Chased our pleasures here, dug our treasures there. But can you still recall the time we cried? Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side.
See, I feel like the fans feel better about this, you know? I mean, that's the type of music and the type of message from a big win deserves a good quality song that really defines what happened in Detroit when the Bengals broke on through to the other side of their few amongst the
NFL elite.
Oh, wait
a minute. I thought you were going to play the Alabama song.
No, what Alabama song?
Oh, take me away to that whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and ask why.
I don't.
Why would I? Well, I don't know why I'd play that. But you just wanted an excuse to sing a little bit. You feel you've had a real urge the last few weeks because you really haven't gotten as many bars of your music in as you'd hoped to. You just wanted to flex the pipes.
Yeah, something like that.
So let's talk about it. The Bengals, I believe you could say, broke through to what has been thought of as maybe their ceiling as a team that doesn't win games like this against good teams that make good plays when both teams play well. I mean, particularly on a road like this. Is there extra meaning to this win, do you think?
I think extra meaning just from the fact of the considering the loss of Leon Hall, which is significant, considering how emotional that was. And I think it's emotional for us, too, around the club, because we saw Leon in his rehab in 2011 and last year, and making it to camp on the first day was one of the good feel-good stories of the year. And now knowing that he has to go through that all over again is... your heart goes out to him. Your heart goes out to him and his family, thoughts and prayers, and whenever the surgery is slated at the time that we are recording the podcast, he hasn't been put on IR. That's expected in the next day or two, but just knowing that you got to go through a process like that all over again, and I mean, it'll be a month more this time that he has to get back onto the field, but it's you feel for something like that, and seeing how emotional he was on the sidelines.
To overcome all that.
Yeah.
And then to overcome the maybe one of the greatest catches I've ever seen in person before, the 50-yard bomb from Stafford to Calvin Johnson over top
Which,
of
speaking
three.
Of that...
Now what?
That's one of those that I feel when we talk about that, because I call it the Holy Megatron play.
Yes.
I feel like we have to have some Gregorian chants or something in the background, or some
what?
Some holy music or something.
So we're talking about this play here. There's our holy man. Will you ask for a Gregorian chant? I give you a Gregorian chant. I don't understand why, but you know what, Joe? It's your show. We're all just
no,
here
it's
in
our,
the
no, it's our show.
It's our show. It's our
there
show.
There might be other places where it's some show and everything, but this is our
show. This is our show. We're sharing the Gregorian chant. I guess I take the fall for it. Please keep listening.
We both went to Catholic schools.
We did. This did not happen at Catholic school, though. We didn't listen to Gregorian chants all day.
Oh,
maybe they did.
But they did
in your generation.
But it's called sadness. So
yeah. Okay. So I don't know why we're bringing sadness into this. Let's move. But enough sadness. So despite all of these plays, all these things that happened, find a way to win a game between two quality teams. And here's, to me, something that was really the most important thing, what you wrote about, what we've been talking about. which is this team. The number one question has been, when will Andy Dalton win a game for this team with his arm? When will that happen? And we saw it against a high-quality opponent. We saw the Detroit Lions say, we dare Andy Dalton to beat us over the top. And he did it.
Yeah, he did it. 7 of 8 on deep balls. Had 11 balls behind the line of scrimmage last week with the short passing game, only 2 this week, mm-hmm. with them kind of stacking a box and daring Andy to throw. And I think the other great thing about this game, Paul, is that all facets of the passing game contributed. I think we've seen since the Chicago game that it's been different people in different parts contributing. This is the one game outside of Chicago, like I said, there were 3 turnovers in the Chicago game where they lost that game. And you could have almost said in that game, Dalton won it with his arm, but they lost. He had 2 interceptions and a fumble. They lost. But this game, he won it with his arm. And to me, that last drive was similar to Pittsburgh turnover, which in this case, the shank punt, couple plays, get in the field goal range. Nuge this time wins it at the gun. Last time it was Josh Brown who won it with a walk-off, but it's just a one game where intermediate, deep, couple slight underthrows, but receivers, Tyler Eifert came back to make the catch in the end zone. He played a great game, and I think we're starting to see the development of this entire offense.
Yeah, and for so long, the conversation has been, well, listen, Andy's been given all these weapons, and so if he can't do it, if he can't bring it, if he can't take this team to the next level with all of these weapons, then he's not the guy. So if anybody out there criticizes when he throws short and those weapons take it long, or he goes over the top but they're underthrown or thrown to the side and those weapons make plays, that's the whole point, is that because he's putting these players in position to make plays. And, you know, we heard some talk about the underthrows, and those are mentioned. I mean, yeah, they needed to perfect those a little more. There were some underthrown balls. But he's giving the playmakers chances to make those plays and understanding where the highest percentage plays are on each time he takes a snap. That's important. He understands that, hey, Gresham is alone one-on-one with a linebacker. Eifert is 32 yards out in the end zone with a chance where he can catch a ball. AJ has got his guy. He's understanding the situations, putting the team, call it game management with that negative connotation if you like. We really saw the evolution because he beat the Detroit Lions doing what is his perceived weakness, and that was throwing over the top of defenses that put everything in the box, say, we're going to stop the run, we're stopping the short passes, we dare you, and they lost. I want to take that into some comments from Andrew Whitworth in the locker room after the game. I know we bring you Whitworth a lot, but that's because Whit is so darn good at putting it exactly the way this team, I think, he speaks for the team on the way that they feel. And there's a little bit in front of it. We eventually get into Andy Dalton and this team believing in him. Here's Andrew Whitworth after the win at Detroit.
It's a win where the young guys and this team had to grow up and win the game, whatever it takes. And I think 2 weeks in a row we've shown them. And that's really the biggest thing you take from this. Is it perfect? Is there things that need to be better? Heck yeah. But this football team, 2 weeks in a row, game on the line, found a way to win. And that's really where you want to be.
When you're on the offense, you're on the sideline and you see Calvin Johnson making plays after plays. And he catches that one 50-yarder. Probably the only other person who's going to catch it is AJ. He's going to make a play like that. No hanging of the heads, no, oh my God, it's just, okay, we got to go out and match them?
Yeah, I mean, I think this offense is kind of what we just said, has grown up enough to where we came into this week knowing the defense has bailed us out of a lot of games, and we were going to have to rise to the occasion this week. And to be able to come and do that against a great pass rushing defense, like I said, just like last week, is a huge step forward. And does it mean you're world beaters? No, you got a lot of work to do, but. Man, heck, it's a heck of a win, and it's a heck of a step forward, and what an opportunity to build off of.
What do you think this win
says about Andy, the way he played and the way the offense moved under his control?
Well, I mean, the same thing it's always said to us. I mean, the people outside this building are the only people that really have been his critics. I mean, we believe in him and know it. And last week he put it together and showed again. And then this week he did it again. And he continues to do it. And the truth is when the people around him help him and we continue to protect for him well, sure, some teams had some success earlier in the year, like I said before, bringing all kinds of people. And now we have answers for that. And that really, it looks bad on him, but it's not on him. It's situations he's put in. And so we're evolving as well. He's evolving. The offense is evolving. And today was a great example of that.
Today was a big day, maybe, to help you guys take a step in figuring out what you guys do best. Do you think that's the biggest thing the last 2 weeks of the offense? Do you guys really figure it out?
No, I really think this week was a great example of why there's no one thing that we need to do best. They came in and said, we're not going to let them run the football on them. They shot the gaps. They brought everybody to the line of scrimmage and just said, it's not going to happen, and we're going to make Andy Dalton beat us. And he made the plays to win the game and made some great throws and put some balls in places for people and rose the occasion. And so the greatest identity you can have is this team's going to be hard to not be able to stop and not be able to let them win. And they're going to do whatever it is to win. And, you know, sometimes you get wrapped up in identity being running and throwing. We want our identity to be in winning football games. And that's what Andy Dalton did for us today.
I mean, you can't say it more straightforward than that. It's they forced Andy Dalton to beat him, and he did. They believe in him. They know it. As resolute as we've ever heard it, and it helps coming off a game when the guy threw for 372, three touchdowns and no interceptions. I mean, that's pretty easy.
But you know how far we've come? First ever game this group played together.
Yeah.
2011 preseason in Detroit. Andy Dalton's first pass, kind of a rollout up the right sideline. Intercepted by Chris Houston on a pass intended for A.J. Green at the Detroit 39. Bomb. First passing play Sunday. Bomb. A.J. Green. Double move. Perfect. On the money. In coverage by Chris Houston. 83-yard touchdown. Mm-hmm. We've come a long way.
Yeah. No doubt. I mean, that was a play where A.J. was so open, even a ball underthrown didn't matter. I mean, he was so far open, and that AJ could come back to it and still be past Houston. And I mean, what a great way to start the game! Obviously, something they saw. Chris Houston talked about after the game about teams keep double moving me. I've got to find ways to stop it. Obviously, Jay Gruden saw the same thing and had that thing dialed up to set a tone and silence the crowd. And it went a long way to doing that. And really, in actuality, outside of the crazy comeback that Detroit put together, that put the Bengals in control of the game early. You saw the crazy time of possession swings between that play, the Carlos Dunlap blocked field goal, a first half where Detroit did everything else right every other play. They were the better team every other play except for two. Made all of the difference in the Bengals being up 14-10 going into half and being able to then come in immediately in the second half and turn it into an 11-point lead.
First half, okay. I mean, first down, okay. Second down, okay. Third down, what the hell? I mean, Detroit is kind of like the guy at the blackjack table. You put 15 down, lose. Put 15 down, lose. Oh, what the hell? I'm going to put two green chips for 50 on the third hand, and all of a sudden it comes up. And
blackjack.
All of a sudden you're ahead. I mean, that was Alliance on third down.
They've been doing that all year, though.
But
it's crazy.
I mean, even the Holy Megatron play. Early fourth quarter, three receivers basically draped over Calvin. And he comes down with it.
Yeah.
I mean,
they were doing that all day. They had the third and super long out of their own end for the 43-yard completion. I mean,
let up on that play. It was one of those where there was a communication thing between him and Newman where somebody's somebody's got to have that. That was just an utter breakdown.
And if they lose that game, I think that would have been the play that they would have looked back on, because that was a chance where if they, that was third and I don't remember the yardage, but it was long, long. It was third and 18 or 20 or something like that out of their own end with the Bengals up 11, where that was a chance where that would have been punting out of the shadows of their own goalposts, and the Bengals in position again with a chance to go up 14 or 18, whatever they would have, they could have scored a touchdown, gone up more. They could have really, really helped put that thing away in a blown opportunity there. But I mean, at the end of the day, it was the offense was enough. Andy Dalton made, I mean, in a challenging situation, thanks to a 28-yard shank, ends up making the two plays and getting the timeout to set up the field goal. I mean, took what the defense gave him. He was surprised that they left the middle open, but they did. He took it once, took it a second time, called timeout, and give the man credit for seeing the way to get to the number that they needed to get to. Marv wrote down 36 on the sheet, and Dalton got him to 36.
Well, might have wrote 36 or 37. That was an interesting debate after the game.
Well, isn't it always? We can't seem to get through a press conference with some sort of contention anymore these days. Although you broke your streak. You had a streak snapped of I believe you made it all the way to 5 straight press conferences where Marv took a shot at you, which I feel like should be on your resume somewhere.
But the streak started again today.
He started again today as he took a shot at your was it a Detroit Red Wings sweater that you were wearing?
It was in a hockey jersey.
It was a jersey that you were wearing on Saturday night in Detroit that Marv spotted you in. First thing he does when he sits down Monday, takes a shot at you for the jersey that you were wearing on Saturday night. Just can't get enough. It's fun to watch at this point.
Yeah, it is. It's... I mean, I wonder what he would do if I came in wearing a Jim Brown jersey or something. But
very interesting. I want to move it forward a little bit and talk about something that you mentioned. The Leon Hall injury occurs. I wrote a little bit about Leon in the blog today, echoing a lot of the same words that you said. You know, we come across a lot of guys in this game, and some are likable, some are not. We try to treat them all the same. It's hard to view Leon in the same light as many others because he is a stand-up class guy and really, I think, nationally, incredibly underappreciated for how good of a player he is. The fact he's never gone to a Pro Bowl is mind-boggling to me. I mean, he's played at a Pro Bowl level for years, but, you know, and really, I think – Jonathan Joseph got a lot of attention because he signed that big deal with Houston and left Cincinnati and played well. But I thought Leon played as well as Joseph did in his Pro Bowl seasons in Houston. But because Joseph now was on the map because of his deal and because of the Texans becoming sort of a centerpiece of the NFL that year, overshadowed what Leon, who I think had been the better corner for a few years. And obviously the Bengals made that call regarding the two a few years ago.
I'd still make that call knowing what I knew then.
And that's no disrespect to Joseph. Right. I mean, it's just Leon's been that good. It's hard to see a guy like that go down, and we hate to see it. But, you know, that's the NFL this weekend of all weekends. Jeez. I mean, everybody – you look across the league, everybody took a serious hit. I mean, almost every single team had – I mean, whether you're the Bears and you use Cutler and Briggs or – Colts with Reggie Wayne, Sam Bradford. The list could go on. There's no sense in going down. It's everybody seemed to take a hit. You got to keep going. So the question then becomes, where do you go with this secondary from here? How does this, because Leon Hall was so valuable in that he was the premier slot cover corner in the NFL. He's your top number one corner shutting down on the outside. That all has to filter down. Where do you go from here? Conversation with Mark Carrier today, discussing all of that. And Mark was great, talking about the entire secondary situation. I'm going to play that for you. And then a couple of comments from Dre Kirkpatrick as well. I'm going to tag onto the back of that for you to hear Dre talking about his development, because he will be a major part of the reconstruction of this. Here's Mark Carrier followed by Dre Kirkpatrick.
Knowing Leon and and saw the play, and then when he got up and his expression, I knew he knew, because obviously he had been through it, that it wasn't good for him, and then his disappointment was all I needed to see from there, and I knew that it was a tough deal for him.
I mean, you could kind of had the same advantage that we did up in the press box, just seeing how emotional he was on the Gatorade.
I saw him when he got up from the end zone. I mean, from the play itself, and walking to the side, trying to walk off. That I knew from his reaction, it wasn't good. And no one knows their body like the athlete, and as well as he does. And he, so it was just, I was just unfortunate for him.
How do you possibly replace? I mean, he's your leader, your best player.
Well, obviously it's tough, but we got guys, and that's been our motto all year long. And next guy, he played 20 plays. We had 70-something plays, so we had to step in there and play, and guys did. So the one thing about playing during a game, you don't have time to think about it. You just got to go and play. And now knowing what we know, we can do some, get some preparation going, and have guys ready to go. But guys did a nice job stepping up and playing in tough circumstances.
Coach, it looked like you answered with a bunch of different things. Crocker in the slot, Crocker at safety, Dre in the slot. I mean, it looks like you kind of patched it together with a bunch of different ways.
Well, we've had guys, Coach Zimmer's had, we've had different guys going there, and Coach calls it, drawing up things and coming up with ideas how we want to play different attack, trying to attack their scheme and what they're doing. So we've had different guys going here. Obviously, Croc's played it, Trey's learned how to play it, Terrence has played it, Taylor Mays has played it. I mean, we've had different guys in the course of the year playing a nickel spot, and we've kind of just done different things. So it's all about how we want to go with the game plan.
It looked like Dre is playing more slot.
Well, that's how it worked out yesterday. It's just what the situation held up. But he can obviously play on the outside too. And we don't know what we're going to do yet. We're just kind of working that out now. How we're going forward with this week.
How would you describe Dre's progress?
It's amazing, and he'll be the first one to tell you, hey, when you're healthy, you can go out there and play. And he's been working hard in practice and forward and. Get in there, get more plays, and now he knows. Hey, when his time comes, his time will be coming soon to step up and play. We're going to need him to play for us.
How much progress has he made since that Dallas game?
Oh gosh, leaps and bounds better. I mean, and it's ironic because after that situation in Dallas, the first person to go up to him and kind of share some things to him was Leon Hall, and kind of let him know, his tough day he had back a few years back when he first came in the league, and say, hey, you can learn from it and get better from it. And I think from Dre, he did. I mean, we had to go out there and get on 81, and he did a nice job trying to get on him and trying to cover him. Hey, so there's good players in this league. You just got to go and compete.
Where do you think Dre's improved since Dallas? What areas of his game do you think?
Well, we're big on technique, and his technique has gotten definitely better. And then also mental mindset of just understanding, hey, every play is a new play. Don't worry about the last play, good or bad. Just keep going forward, keep working and get better. And I think you saw that after that play in yesterday's game. He didn't stop. He kept competing. He didn't let it bother him. The guys were great with him on the sideline. Say, hey, let's go. Keep going.
The last set of downs, it looked like they were matched up Calvin on Adam. I mean, it looked like he covered him okay.
Adam did a nice job. Adam had a real good, consistent game. He worked on some things in practice and brought him to the game and did a nice job. He had a real solid game. And he was laughing on the side, enjoying it. He was welcome. He was welcoming a challenge to get on 81.
He's had a pretty good season. Plus, he's already had a couple starts from when Leon had the hamstring injury.
Yeah, we've had to depend on Adam. He's come and played, and when he plays with his technique and the proper levels that he needs to play with, proper footwork he needs to play with, he's done a nice job. He's played well for us this year, and I expect him to play even better.
And that's the one good thing about you guys is you've got depth and you've got options. It's not as if you got to go on a street and sign someone.
We've been fortunate that way that we've got the guys that we have where we can go in there and plug a guy in and still kind of run our defense that we like to run and still get out there and compete and cover guys. So, it's still when you lose a guy, we've had guys with minor injuries, but when you lose a guy for the year, that's tough because now you're going into your depth and so now new guys got to step up.
How valuable can Leon be in a new role, kind of like your assistant, to help those young guys?
Well, if you ask Leon, he won't. He won't say he's my assistant. He'll say I'm his assistant. But the one thing about this group, especially those corners, that they do a great job of communicating and working with one another to try to make each other's job better, help each other out, especially on the sideline, in the classroom, on the field of play. So, and I'm sure Leon, you know, given him, when he gets a chance to be part of the team, he will be there. I mean, that's what Croc was doing during the course of the game with Dre, helping him get acclimated. So, you know, we need each other, depend on each other to be successful, and he can still be a big part of this team.
How huge is Crocker now?
And, well, I don't want to say anything because in his mind he's thinking he's the great, you know, he's big and everything.
Yeah.
He's a piece of the puzzle and everything. I'm not going to post him up and pump him up any more than he wants to be because he'll do it for me.
So one of those when you look at that fourth quarter play, you just put your hands up and go, hell of a play.
Well, yeah, obviously it's a great play by that kid. And I mean, there's some things, you know, coaching now, looking at it from film, we could have probably done some things differently. But, hey, I've been on that situation before, and sometimes you just have to, you blame your parents, because, you know, that's how I look. That's how, hey, blame your parents, you know.
Who was your Calvin Johnson when you were playing? Who was the guy?
I got posterized by Randy Moss. Jumped right over me, boom.
Did it bring back memories?
Hey, that was my, I kind of relate to guys on sidelines, just keep your heads up. Hey, if you've been in this game long enough, it happens to everybody. Just how you respond from it, you know, go from there.
So would you say posterized? He posterized you.
Oh, yeah, he got up on me. Yeah, they say moss. He mossed me. Yeah. It happened. Hey, as long as it's by a Hall of Famer type guy, hey, you say he was a good guy. Yeah. You know, hey, at least I got beat by that guy because he's got a few highlights of other guys doing the same thing.
During that Dallas game, you got plenty of snaps against your number one offense. It seemed to be a learning experience, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, hey, it was one of those games and one of those days that a lot of great players have. So, you know, you just got to continue to just work through it and improve every day. So, and I learned my lesson. You know, I took my notes and I continue to still watch that game. You know, Zim, I always bring it up just to remind me. So, I know what a butt whipping feel like, and I don't want that feeling no more.
When's the last time you looked at it?
Probably about 2 weeks ago. You know, me and Zim was talking about it, and you know, I had to just go back and remind myself, like, I don't never want this feeling again. Sour. You know, it's a bitter taste.
How valuable can a guy like Leon be for you now in his new role as kind of a coach and advisor?
Man, I'm just, like I said, if my time comes to play at that position, I'm going to need him. You know, I'm going to need him just to coach me up and constantly stay on me and just keep showing me the little pointers that, you know, that can change the game.
Look at you with the double interview hit.
Splicing them together. I want to keep it concise for the people. You know what that also is, Joe? That's one less edit for me later.
That's true. But but you know what that also is? That's battling in progress.
Battling and making progress. I just try to get better every week. That's all I want to do. I just want to come out and I want to play better this
grinding.
Week than I did last week. It's rising grind. All right, as the Detroit DJ who played, we just out here grinding. The Detroit DJ, by the way, maybe the best pregame music we've ever heard. I wanted to buy the soundtrack on the way out. I was like, I don't know what. I mean, it was everything. When they went from they kept it local. They had your Eminem, some new Eminem. They played. They were bringing Led Zeppelin, Chili Peppers, New Pearl Jam. I mean, it was the best pregame set list that I've ever heard at a game. Just fantastic.
Only one bad thing.
What's that?
It was all going well until they played Nickelback.
They did play Nickelback, which is a huge negative. I mean, if this was like a Pro Football Focus rating, that's like a -3 for that song. Luckily, they had built up enough
goodwill. Even Canada hates Nickelback, and they're over the border, which the marriage of Nickelback's lead singer and Avril Lavigne, that, for Canadians, that just has to be crushing.
A bitter taste. I mean, the two of them are really, they deserve each other, though. Let's be honest. Boy, I'd hate to be at the reception of that wedding. That's going to be some
that,
bad
no, that tunes. Already, it happened, I thought.
That's what I'm saying. I would have hated to have been in there. Could you imagine how awful the music must have been at the reception if you had Nickelback and Avril Lavigne choosing your soundtrack? Just
I mean,
brutal.
To me, Paul, I hate to go on a Nickelback rant.
No, we promote that here.
There's two types of Nickelback songs. You've got the power ballad.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side, it's either strip clubs, raunchy sex, and just boozing it up big time. There's no in between.
No.
It's either sentimental power ballads or just raunchiness at its core.
Or and all set to the sound of just awful music, awful yes. construction, which what else could you ask for? Your Nickelback moment is now closed.
Sponsored by Labatt Blue.
Sponsored by Labatt Blue. Yes. And strip club bouncers everywhere. let's get more to the injuries, to what Carrier and Dre were talking about. How do you envision this secondary playing out now with Leon Hall out of the picture?
I think it's better than 2 years ago, which I was looking at the depth chart, Baltimore and beyond. Nate Clements and Pac-Man were starters. You had Kelly Jennings and Brandon G as the backups. Brandon hardly played. So you're basically rolling three corners, and Chris Crocker is kind of your slot guy. Now, you've got Terrence Newman. You got Pac-Man, who are going to be the starters. Your slot / nickel corner, you got either Dre, Crocker, G, Lewis Harris probably not, but still, yeah. you've got three options. You've got depth. You've got at least five corners right now, where last time you had four, but you were playing three. You got five and can basically play four right now, and you got Crocker, who's the bonus and who's in great healthy shape at the moment. So knock on wood. Antoine Winfield, name a lot of people have been asking about. He's out there. He was in Columbus over the weekend. From a couple people I've talked to, they have had conversations in the past with Winfield's camp, but I think it's just a basic, hey, how's it going type deal. He wants to go to a contender, but he's 30, he's mid-30s, aggressive tackler, physical. And as you know, as Adam kind of said today, you come into a Zimmer defense. It takes a while to adjust and learn a scheme, mm-hmm. even for veterans. So, I don't know if that's the best move. But for everybody wondering when Dre Kirkpatrick's time was going to come, I think the time's now. He's got to step up. He's got to play better. Brandon G is time. He's got to stay healthy, and he's got to start showing stuff too, or else. You know, we're kind of back to beginning here.
And so for so long, we've talked about why this Bengals team was set up for success. It was the depth of the roster. It was all we talked about in preseason was how deep this team seemed to be in so many positions. Well, yeah, you can't really afford to lose a Leon Hall, but everybody loses players. And you I don't think the fall off is that deep. But at some point, you're right. These guys have to play. You fill in with a first-round pick and a third-round pick who this team likes, obviously, or they would not be here. Brandon G definitely would not be here.
Yeah, with a ton of injuries that Brandon G had,
the fact that he's still here, I think, is the compliment to what they believe he is and what he can be. And Dre Kirkpatrick, obviously, they invested a first-round pick in him, and he really hasn't had a chance to get out there. Carrier speaking very glowingly of him today and how far he's come since that awful, awful Dallas game. And besides that game, I think we had thought he had looked pretty good in the preseason. He obviously just had an awful night. He seems to be using that for motivation, and as he said, he knows how to take a butt whipping and learn from it. And I think that's important. I think this is bad. This is a bad injury. I don't think it is as devastating as some people make it out to be, where it's they have to make a trade. They have to go find somebody. They don't. I really don't think they do. And if you consider what's been the greatest defensive game of the season for them? New England, without Leon Hall. I mean, we're talking as one of the greatest Zimmer games ever. And he didn't have Leon Hall there. There's enough people on this team, and particularly in this secondary, to make up for his loss that they can handle. They can handle it. It hurts. You would love to have Leon out there. However, I believe they have enough depth to handle it.
Yeah, and I think they're in better shape than 2 years ago. And let's face it, that was a team that, when Leon got hurt, were 6-3, still made the playoffs at 9-7. Now they're 5-2. Game against the Jets on Sunday, then go to Miami for the Thursday night. I still think they're going to split out of that. If they sweep, though, they're 7-2 and looking pretty damn good.
Yeah.
You know, at worst, they'll have a 1.5 game lead. At best, they'll have a 2.5 game lead because Baltimore's off this week. So, I mean, it's like I said, it's setting up very favorably now to where, even dare we say it, after 7 weeks, we're now looking at the AFC standings in total and going, can this team, dare we say it, get a first round bye? And it's kind of setting up that way.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of football left to be played, but this win, and we said it before this, that this was a very interesting game and that I thought it really would go a long way deciding how we viewed this team going forward. With this win, the expectations and the possibilities open up to many more things, to this conversation exactly, to first-round buys, to 12-4, to things like that become a very real possibility because of what they showed and the momentum that that can create, and the fact that that was such the toughest game in this stretch. I think it goes a long way to saying, hey, there's no reason to believe they couldn't be one of the second seed, or, you know, who knows what will happen. I mean, the Denver loss coupled with this game, the whole AFC looks a little bit different today than it did before. Kansas City and the Colts will be in play there, but there's still questions around all those teams.
I mean, the worst thing I think you want to be at this moment is the fourth seed in the AFC, because that means you're going to have either Kansas City or Denver.
I feel like, but if you start talking at this point about possible playoff matchups, things can change so dramatically.
Right, I'm just saying matter what, it looks like two's coming from the West, and the way it's going, granted it's going to be a home game if you're the four seed, but I don't want either Denver or Kansas City. That's the four, that would be the 4-5 game of death.
You think Kansas City would be a game of death? I mean, I guess if they made it to
right
be the
now
one
after
seed,
seven
but,
weeks, we're talking about that.
Yeah,
but
I think that's a long way off.
Right.
But you never know. I mean, you could have a key injury at the end of the season and it changes everything. I mean, Denver, the unstoppable force, that changes. They don't look at. I mean, suddenly people say, "Hey, they're 0-1 against teams that are currently over 500 on the season."
And they struggled against Jacksonville, let's face it.
And they barely beat Dallas. I mean,
that was on the road in a shootout. So
still?
Road win.
Road win, okay.
And Dallas is over 500.
Are they now?
Yeah, they're over 500.
No, I don't know where I saw that stat then. Well, regardless, it sort of changes the view of things, and the Bengals are clearly right in the mix and the hardest part of their schedule in the rear view, with obviously some tough games ahead still, but Rodgers, Brady, those guys, Stafford are all now in the rear view, and you're looking ahead at Geno Smith and Ryan Tannehill. And, you know, and a struggling a Ravens team that Terrell Suggs declared a state of emergency after their loss to Pittsburgh, and you know that looks changing.
Which the thing is, if somehow, some way, in the next 10 days, you get wins over the Jets and Dolphins, which would unofficially give them the AFC East, since they would be 4-0. If you're going in at 7-2 in what basically I would call a Week 10 Mortal Kombat game at Baltimore, because you would just have the sensei in the middle going, finish them.
Finish him, yeah.
That would be the finish them game for Baltimore going that, you know.
They have to then fight for a wild card.
They have to fight, for that last wild card, because let's. 7 weeks in, we can start taking a nascent look at the total picture, because things are starting to clear now. AFC East, Jets are in the conversation for possible wild card. Dolphins have waned a little bit, but they still may be in. North Baltimore, you got to talk about. South, I think it's basically Indy's division to lose right now. Mm-hmm. They're pretty clear in the West. You got Denver and Kansas City, but
and one of those teams will win the division. One of those will be a wild card.
Yeah,
I mean it's hard to imagine Kansas City having an epic fall from grace at this point.
It's hard to see a Josh McDaniels type collapse with Andy Reid,
right?
Richo type.
I think Andy Reid is veteran enough to. And by the way, in case you haven't seen it, LSU Freak, who is like the GIF king of the world, came up with an Andy Reid GIF today of him running through the wall as the Kool-Aid man. That is just the stuff of legend. So if you're listening to this podcast right now, I highly recommend you open up your web browser and searching for
Kool-Aid. Use that for one of the jiffies.
Oh, you should. You should. It's pretty good.
I did use Wes Welker for a couple.
It's a good one. It's a good one. So really quickly, let's move forward. Here comes New York. Here come the New York Jets. And really, before we start talking about New York, we've got to bring in Sinatra. Oh,
start spreading the news. I'm leaving today.
Oh, beautiful!
I want to be a part of it.
New York.
Joe, we are a duet. We are just beautiful singing voices here. Sinatra brings us in. You have to. Although we were discussing this before, also big fans of Alicia Keys and Jay-Z. You know, I mean, the Empire State of Mind. But I feel like
Ryan Adams, New York, too.
Yes,
one of the very underrated. That came out around the time of 9/11. Kind of a rallying theme song.
You are a Sinatra style guy. I've heard enough of your singing on this podcast that I feel like you exude Sinatra in the New York.
Could be a fedora night for the latest of edition of Cincinnati.com presents Beyond the Stripes with Paul Daugherty, presented by JosephAuto.com with special guest Marvin Jones.
Marvin Jones back for a second go round on Tuesday night.
I'm thinking Marvin judges karaoke on this show.
That's bold. That's a bold claim. I, you know what? You know I'll do karaoke. I mean, I'm not against doing karaoke, but I need to be able to pick my music. I'm not just going to do whatever people tell me to say. You know, I mean, I've got 5 to 6 go-to songs I like to play to, and you know, I just want to know what the setup's going to be. If we're going to have the proper setup, I need to be able to prepare myself for what I need to do to win this. Cuz I'm not going to come if I am coming in, I'm coming in to win. I'm not coming in soft.
Possibly the best karaoke singer of all time. One of my good friends, Tom Reed of the Cleveland Plain Dealer, mm-hmm. when he would do David Lee Roth's Just a Gigolo. And mm-hmm. this was a long time ago. Women would swoon at the bars and taverns whenever he did that.
You've obviously never seen me do Strokin' by Clarence Carter before, because it is the stuff of legend. Although FCC regulations might say that all the pelvic thrusting that I do during my Strokin' performance is probably not good for Beyond the Stripes.
I once did Phil Collins' You Can't Hurry Love, and people were appalled.
I can't imagine why. New York Jets, coming off a surprising win against New England, which I would say is good for the Bengals. One of those.
Oh, and the New York tabloids had fun this week.
Sure did. Went with go tuck yourself with Bill Belichick on the front of the New York Daily News.
Or on the New York Post last Friday, Tom Brady in a baby type outfit.
Yeah. Yes. They have no problem taking shots at Darth Hoodie and Brady. I think that win is good as an intention getter for a Bengals team coming off a big win to say, hey, keep an eye on these guys. Obviously, they're no joke. Their defense is playing well. Third in the league in sacks right now. It's going to be a great challenge, as a former college football coach around here would at one point in time say.
Big props to Lyle for the win on Saturday.
Yeah,
grudging props, I would say.
How about Tennessee with their nice win? Good for them. Let's move forward. You know, you got to – this Jets team is a little bit dangerous, particularly with the way they're playing defense. They've been playing everybody close. I mean, all these teams, the Bengals have played close, New England, Buffalo, all that whole mix. The Jets have been right there about the same with them. I mean, they're very similar to those teams. It's going to be a lot closer, I think, than people thought it would be a couple weeks ago or at the beginning of the season.
I think Geno Smith has exceeded expectations, played well. Chris Ivory, who blew up here 3 years ago in a game for the Saints, one of the running backs. I mean, you look at the receivers, and it's like, who?
Stephen Hill? They got Cotchery, right?
No, Cotchery's with the Steelers. Curley's got 20.
Curley, that's what I'm thinking.
24 receptions.
That's right.
Nick Folk, heck of a kicker. But, you know, only two interceptions for him, where we're so used to Revis Island and stuff. Cumberland, heck of a tight end. Bilal Powell, their leading rusher.
I mean, offensively, they're putting it together with next to nothing. I mean, they're just piecing anything together they can with Geno Smith, doing his best. I mean, he's found ways to win games, though. You got to give him credit.
And they've been a heck of a roller coaster. Win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win.
That would seem to set up well for the Bengals if my logical reasoning classes play out. I mean, that would. Who knows? That changes. It's an odd thing, but you're right. I don't know. It's a tough. Going to be a defensive battle. You would think with these two, but you know, the second you think one thing, something else happens. It'll be interesting. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that. Of course, you can. We'll have Beyond the Stripes you mentioned with Marvin Jones. We'll be previewing that on Tuesday night. Come down to Mortline Lager House. And we'll do that. It'll be more fun with Joe and I debating some topics. And then, of course, all week, check out the blog. Go to Cincinnati.com. We'll have all the stories. Thankfully, a home game, because as fun as these road trips have been, I will be happy to be settling into my seat at Paul Brown Stadium on Sunday rather than another day of travel.
But then we have the 96-hour speed race.
For turnaround for the Dolphins game that Thursday. It'll be – but, hey, then a free weekend, a full free weekend, no football to speak of anywhere, and we can maybe kick back for a little second and take a breather. But it's going to be – so it's going to be kind of a wild week and a half around here. So keep an eye to everything on Cincinnati.com, and follow Joe on Twitter at Joe Rudy. Me at Paul Leonard Jr. will be bringing you.
You know what you know what we got to go out with?
What do we have to go out with?
It's kind of a theme. Jay-Z, New York guy.
Yeah.
And I love it. I know I play it when I work out. Let's do On to the Next One.
I love it. We haven't really gone out with some good quality rap.
Yeah.
And I love it. Big On to the Next One. So here we go. We move on to the next one, just as the Bengals do. New York versus the Bengals. 4:05 on Sunday at Paul Brown Stadium. We hope to see you there. Thank you, Jay-Z. We'll see you next week on Scribe. Step on
stupid. I gotta keep everybody. It moving.
Make the same. Me, I make the blueprint. Came in the range. Hopped out the Lexus. Every year since, I've been on that neck. Traded in a gold for the platinum Rolex. Now a wrist match the status of my records. Used to rock a throwback, ballin' on a corner. Now I rock a telesuit, looking like a owner. No, I'm not a Jonas, brother, I'm a groaner. No, I'm not a virgin, I use my. I move on with the only direction. Can't be scared to fail, search of perfection. Gotta keep it fresh, girl, even when we sexin'. But don't be mad at him when it's on to the next one.
Somebody bring me back the money, please. I got a million ways to get it. Choose one. Bring it back. Now double your money and make it stack. I'm on to the next one. On to the next. I'm on to the next one. On to the next. I'm on to the next one. On to the next. I'm on to the next one. On to the next.
Hold up. the next one. And that auto-tune cause we own. And don't be mad cause it's all about progression. Loiterers should be arrested. I used to drink Cristal, them f***s racist. So I switch gold bottles on to that space. You gon' have another drink or you just gon' babysit. On to the next one, somebody call a waitress. Baby, I'm a boss, I don't know what they do. I don't get drops, I drop the label. World can't hold me, too much ambition. Always knew it'd be like this when I was in the kitchen. It's in the same spot, me I'm dodging raindrops. Meaning I'm on vacay, chilling on the big yacht. Yeah, I got on flip-flops, white Louis Bow shoes. Y'all should grow the f*** up, come here, let me coach you. Hold up.
Somebody bring me back some money, please. I got a million ways to get it. Shoes one. Hey, bring it back, bring it back. Now double your money and make it stack. I'm on to the next one. On to the next. I'm on to the next one. On to the next. I'm on to the next one. On to the next. I'm on to the next one. On to the next.
Hold up.
Somebody bring me back some money, please.
Big pimpin' in the house now. Bought the land, tore the motherfucking house down. Bought the car, tore the motherfucking roof off. Ride clean, I don't never take the shoes off. Bought the Jeep, tore the motherfucking doors off. Put out that ride the like a skateboard. Navigation on, trying to find my next thrill. Feeling myself, I don't even need an X-pill. Can't chill, but my neck will. Haters really gonna be mad off my next deal. I don't know why they worry about my pockets. Meanwhile, I had over chillin' in the projects. Had out in Bed-Stuy, chillin' on the steps. Drinking quarter waters, I gotta be the best. MJ at Summer Jam, Obama on the text. Y'all should be afraid of what I'm gon' do next. Hold up.
Somebody bring me back some money, please. I got a million ways to get it. Shoes one. Hey, bring it back, bring it back. Double your money and make a stack. I'm on to the next one. On to the next.